Howard Scott never played under Maestro Stokowski. In fact, he never played in an orchestra at all. But as a recording engineer and producer for Columbia Masterworks, and later for RCA Red Seal in New York, he worked very closely with the maestro on several recordings of the Philadelphia Orchestra and also the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Mr. Scott has also worked as the manager of the Rochester Philharmonic and as vice president of G. Schirmer Music Publisher. Mr. Howard Scott.
I am a little quietened by my colleagues because I'm not an orchestral musician. In fact, I stopped playing the piano when I was drafted in 1942, which was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. I was not going to be a good pianist. There are three highlights, however, since I had been made the recording director of Columbia Records in 1952 that stand out in my memory. Three great, great moments for me. The first one was recording Stravinsky with his opera, The Rake's Progress. And he was one of the most brilliant and wonderful persons you could ever work with. The second one was in Philadelphia in 1959, when I was able to have Shostakovich sit by my side as we recorded in Philadelphia in the Broadwood Hotel, of course. We could not abide your wonderful academy for recording. Was with Shostakovich and we did the first symphony, and then Rostropovich gave the premier performance of his cello concerto with my colleague on the left, who was playing a fabulous French horn solo, if you recall. And the third one was with Leopold Stokowski in Philadelphia when we did a session on February 25th, 1960. And I'd like to give you a few words about that and then also tell you about our recording in Chicago in 1968. I'll try to make it as brief as I can, but he was such an incredible person and you learned so much from him so quickly that it's very hard to try to eliminate what you might find interesting. A recording director, first of all, has to understand one major thing. You are to be the alter ego of the artist that you're recording. You cannot let your own personal wishes stand in the way of what they are trying to achieve, or in the case of Stokowski, a conductor. So you have to get out of the way. On the other hand, you have to be part psychiatrist, part doctor, part gopher, part understanding of his what he's trying to translate, and take it from a concert or a live performance and put it into these little things that we call microphones. And in 1960, we were fortunate enough to have three tracks on a tape machine, not one, and not even two. It was a major break for me because that recording session consisted of three Bach works, choral preludes that he had transcribed, and the Brandenburg Concerto, number 5. Then the Wagner, his transcription of the second and third acts of Tristan, and then finally El Amor Brujo with a 20-year-old stunning woman named Shirley Verrett Carter. I came to the session prepared, as one does as a producer, recording director, to do, for financial reasons, you had to pay the whole orchestra the first 2 hours. So obviously you would start with the Wagner. The session was due to start at 11 o'clock. I was there, I'd stayed overnight, I'd flown in from Cleveland where I'd just finished recording George Zell and the Cleveland Orchestra, which was a bit of a switch to then come into Philadelphia. And everything was set up in the Broadwood, ready to go. He came in at about 10:30. A young assistant of mine had driven him from New York to Philadelphia. And he sat down and said, "Mr. Scott, I'm beginning with the Bach." I said, "Well, Maestro, we're going to begin actually with the Wagner because that's the full orchestra." He said, "No, I'm beginning with the Bach." Well, now my life was on the line. I either had to acquiesce or get fired when I came back to New York to approach my boss, Schuyler Chapin, who was the director of Columbia Masterworks. After wriggling back and forth, I said, excuse me, Maestro, I'm going to have to call New York. I went downstairs, I called Schuyler, said, Schuyler, Maestro wants to start with the Bach. It's 36 men, and we're going to take at least 3 hours to do those three little things. We're going to pay the whole orchestra while he does 36 men. And Schuyler said, that's impossible. Go tell him he can't do that. Well, that's great. He's in New York, and I'm in the lobby. Didn't quite play that way. I said, Schuyler, you have a choice. I can call a session off and pay 2 hours of recording and let everybody go home, or we can start with the Bach and pay the orchestra that isn't playing for the 2 hours and then call them back as soon as we've finished doing Bach. Well, he was stuck, and of course I knew he was stuck. He could not spend, in those days, I think it was about $7,000 an hour, whereas now it's about $70,000 an hour. So he said, okay, go ahead. The reason for all that, which I never did find out until about 5 years later, was that Schuyler had stuck Stokey with a terrible contract. Instead of paying him his 10% royalty for public domain works, as Roger Hall will only be glad to tell you, he was paying him 3%, and Stokowski was going to get even. And he did. We spent over 3 hours recording Bach while my colleagues here were having their quiet time, probably watching a baseball game, eating hoagies.
Angie's hoagies.
Yeah, Angie's hoagies. While we recorded, and then we did the El Amor Brujo with Shirley Verrett Carter. And I remember one major comment he made as she was singing this fabulous piece by Defaya. He said to her, I want you to make your voice sound a little more Catalan. And he wouldn't say it that way. He would have said, make voice more Catalan, because he would never spend more time on saying anything he didn't have to. Make voice more Catalan. What he really meant for her was to sing it more bluesy or down and dirty or whatever you want to call it, but he wouldn't bring himself to that level. It was a wonderful session. We finished about 6 o'clock at night. He went through 8 hours, 7 o'clock at night. My friend drove Stokey and me back to New York, and he was running late. So as we went through the Lincoln Tunnel, a cop came up behind us with the lights going and pulled us over as we came out of the tunnel. And Stokey in the back seat just sat there, and Tom Shepard said, you know, I'm terribly sorry for speeding. And I said, you know, we really have a very special person in our back seat. And all Stokey said was, damn New York police. He got the ticket. The other incident I'd like to tell you about is Chicago. Chicago was unique because he recorded there the Shostakovich Sixth Symphony, which he had premiered in the United States, as well as the Khachaturian Third Symphony for 17 trumpets. And we also did the Russian Easter Overture. I've been fortunate enough, at least in this case, that RCA, all my scores were thrown out at Columbia Records, and my records, my paper records, were all either lost or flooded. But they did give me my two scores. I have Shostakovich Sixth and Rimsky. And I also, I don't know, Stokey must have had something to do with this, I found all my notes of the recording session itself. And if, I don't know if I have the time to go into this. Do I have 2 minutes? I have 2 minutes.
Absolutely.
Okay. It was fascinating because we recorded on the 20th of February, 1968, and the 21st of February, 1968, on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. And according to my memory, and I checked it with Chicago, he gave concerts on Thursday and Friday night, took the train back to New York Saturday, 20th century, stayed with his two boys because he wanted to be home over the weekend, took the train back Monday night, and arrived in Chicago, oh, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, and came right over to Medina Auditorium because, brash as I was then and still am, I took the Chicago Orchestra out of Orchestra Hall and moved them to the Medina, which was an auditorium not too far away, but much better sound. That recording session we did, and I just have to read off to you quickly how it worked. We started at 2:00 in the afternoon. We started with a suite from L'Âge d'Or. We did the first, second, third, and fourth movements in 25 minutes and took a break of 25 minutes. We then proceeded to do the Sixth Symphony. We did the first, second, and third movements, which is, it's a three-movement work. We did that in 38 minutes, took another 20-minute break. Of course, we listened as much as we could in those, and then did the Russian Easter Overture for 35 minutes and finished that. So we did really all we were going to do in 1 2.5-hour session, which is only 100 minutes, because you're only allowed to record 40 minutes out of a 60-minute hour, according to the union rules. And I've kept track. The first session ran 98 minutes, so I was lucky. That evening at 7:00, he then proceeded to, we had changed the complete setup of the microphones. And miking is another thing that Stokey and I had a particular friendship over, because I was as interested in what he wanted to do as he was interested in what I wanted to do. And I did have a better knowledge in 68 of the newer microphones that were available, AKGs and Telefunkens, rather than the ones that he had been more used to, the Altec Lansings, the Western Electrics, the 77Bs. I don't know what this one is. It's a Shure. And so he reset the whole orchestra for the symphony number 3 with 17 trumpets, only uniquely as Stokowski could. He had 17 trumpets lined up on one side of the back of the stage, which he and I set up personally, and we put the microphones there. He had the whole woodwind section sitting on the right side with the brass as a group, and he had all the string section sitting in front of the 17 trumpets, which is not really the way an orchestra is used to playing, as you gentlemen will concur. So we did in the second session, we did the Khachaturian Symphony number 3. It's in one movement. We spent 26 minutes doing the whole symphony, which takes 21, 22 minutes to play. Took a break of 26 minutes so we could listen to the whole symphony, and then went back to work. But we didn't do any more Khachaturian that night. We did the Shostakovich L'Âge d'Or, the first, second, and third, and fourth movements all over again, and then proceeded to do the Sixth Symphony all over again. And at 9:30, having worked 93 minutes out of the 100, we all went home. Oh, actually, he did the Russian Easter Overture also. He did all four works in 2.5 hours. The next morning, we worked from 10:00 till 1:30, and believe it or not, we did everything all over again. But we did it in sort of like bits and pieces. Did the Symphony number 3, did the Shostakovich Sixth, did the Suite from L'Âge d'Or, and did the Russian Easter Overture, all in one takes. Incredibly, when we went to make our listening session at 1:30, he had a wonderful waiter come in on a huge silver tray with a lobster salad, cold lobster salad, beautiful toast, a bottle of white French wine, and proceeded to tuck his napkin in, and we proceeded to play all of the material for him while we watched him eat lunch and drink his wine. He never thought to say, what are you fellas doing? We sat there until 4:00, which was okay. I mean, not a one-track mind, but he was so concentrated on what we were doing, and I was so delighted to be able to just sit there. So I have a couple of his notations, mostly mine, but I have 3 more pages of notes, such as horns, number 6 basses louder, 23 violins louder, celeste louder, bassoon double, more harp at A, horn contrafagot at 3, clarinets quicker, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which I had to go back to New York and remix. Fortunately, I had a good boss. He happens to be sitting here, so why don't I ask him to stand up, and we might all remember him, right? Roger Hall.
Roger.
Right there. In closing, I'd just like to say that Roger and I had been up to Stokowski's apartment and talked about all this repertoire before I went to Chicago. I'm delighted to be able to say that Roger hired me at RCA. I'm rather not delighted to say he fired me at RCA. But that's okay. We're still good friends, and it wasn't his fault. It was General Sarnoff's fault, or Robert's fault. I don't know which. Thank you.
Howard Scott, former record producer at Columbia Masterworks and RCA Red Seal, who worked with Maestro Stokowski on many projects with the Philadelphia Orchestra and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.